Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Zambia Blog Talk Radio. Hello, my name is Matilda. I'm hosting, I'm standing in for Twambo Kapilikisha, who's off today. I'm hosting the Diaspora and Truth. Today our guest, our featured guest is Sidiq Gelo, who I'll just bring in here in just a moment so we can get the show started. And just a reminder to the people who are calling in, We in the Zambian diaspora have recently received another personal call message. We have a death in the Zambian community. We want to say condolences to the community in California. Sidiq, good morning.
Good morning, Matilda. Can you hear me? Am I loud and clear?
Yes, you are, but there's some background noise.
Okay. Hello. What about
okay,
now?
Yes, you are fine. We can go ahead and get the show started. We are very excited to feature you today on Diaspora and Truth, and that's because you are a person who's on the forefront, especially on Facebook. People know you when it comes to issues concerning the diaspora in the U.S. So I wanted to start by having you introduce yourself very briefly to the listeners out there. Who are you? Who is Sidiq Gelo? What could you tell us in a few minutes?
Okay. My name is Sidiq Abdullah Ibrahim Gondwe Gelo. I was born in Kitwe. And I came to the States in 2005. I became president of the Association of Zambians in Atlanta in 2008 on a constitution, and on a suspended constitution that a president is only supposed to serve for 2 years. But since that time, I've been president a little bit longer than usual. And some people have compared me to Mugabe for staying. Yeah, but hey, we're a sprouting community in Atlanta and Zambian community, and we're doing very well. And I just love my Zambian people. My Zambian community, and this extends further from Atlanta to the rest of America and the diaspora. As we are away from family in Zambia, and I feel we are a family, we're a constituency, you know. And hopefully, I'm one of the servants to that constituency.
Okay, great.
Yes,
great. To give a little bit more background on you, a lot of people remember you back from the days of Dan Pulling. You were,
yes.
You were praise and worship leader. Just give us a little bit of background, a little bit of history on that. How?
Okay. Yes, at the age of 21, I formed a group called the Tribe Called Christian. At that time, we were, I think, the first ones to fill up Mulungushi with a concert called "Come to Christ," and the Tribe Called Christian was the biggest youth organization in Zambia. Period. It was a great. I think that was one of the most important and defining moments of my life during that time. And it's there that Pastor Dan Pule, who was minister of of, I think he was finance minister at that time, supported me, and we spoke, and I started attending some of his conferences as worship leader. And then when he formed a church in, I believe it was 1998, I became its first worship leader. After that, we formed PBN, which is still operative in Zambia, and also he started Christian Voice, even though he was not the man behind it, and just the fact that Dan Pule was you know helping out with Christian Voice, I was the worship leader that was there to sing whenever you know in the defining moments of that same radio station. I was there, so it was a very very interesting time in my life. One thing led to the other, and then I came to the States. I hope I've adequately answered that question, because there's a whole lot of things surrounding that.
Absolutely. At least it gives us all-around perspective on who you are. So moving on, Yes. You came to the United States, and then with the introduction of Facebook, you start with, especially with the campaigning of President Michael Sata before he became president, and then after he became president, you started the 90 days government thumbs up and thumbs down. What was the motivation behind that?
You know, I've always had a heart for Zambia. Actually, while I was in Zambia, I thought my destiny was just to be a worship leader and to sing gospel music, and that's it. And I used to, the possibilities of me being a political analyst or anything to do with politics was, to me, was not Christian enough. So I threw that, the back of my mind. When I came here and I got on social media and people talk about this, I tried not to comment. My concentration were based on other things. But then when I became president of the Association of Zambians in Atlanta, I'm trying not to boast, but when I realized that I was a little bit of a different kind of a leader, everything that I did seemed to work. To me, it was a normal thing to push a program and work, but people would come to me and said, this has never been done before. And that combined with the fact that that I love Zambia, I started looking at leadership and saying, maybe God has called me to something more than just Christian music, you know, and all of a sudden, like overnight, my passion to see Zambians progress became very, very, very strong. And that combined with the fact that the political scenario in Zambia was headed a certain way, and I was a little bit fearful that Michael Sata would become president, because I had an encounter with him one time, so I wasn't sure. But at the same time, I didn't want MMD in power. I got involved in it, and I didn't even know really what direction I was going, but that made me, become very, very involved. When TF became into power, they had promised that in 90 days they would present a lot of change and stuff. I was like, okay, they're in power now. Let's see what they'll do. Now, if they don't do what they promised, then we're going to hold that against them. If they do, then we'll support them.
So what can the people in the diaspora do? I'm in the diaspora. I joined 90 days. What impact? What are you hoping is the impact you have on the diaspora? And what impact can we have in Zambia as those in the diaspora?
The first thing that comes to mind is the fact that if once we create a very 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 strong and fortified group as Zambians in the diaspora, we'll become a lobby for change in Zambia. And I know when I say lobby for change in Zambia, a lot of people in Zambia have unsettling feelings about it. You guys out there in America want to, you know, to change stuff here. You want to tell us what to do. But we want to be a positive change, a positive force for Zambia. Example would be Israel and the Jewish community in America. They work together so well. The Jewish community sends money, billions of money to Israel, and they support the state of Israel so much. And that's just a country of about how many people? 5 million people. But it is such a strong country that the surrounding nations are no match to that country. It's because they have a strong link with the diaspora here. We can do the same thing. Zambians in America, all around the world, can be such a strong force that would determine a positive change in Zambia and help the country go to another level. That's what I think, and that's my ultimate goal. To have a very, very, very strong diaspora lobby for Zambia.
Absolutely. And then moving on to another Facebook page that you're behind, and well, this one, I can't really say you're behind because your name is in there. That is the Siddiq Book of Information. I'm on that page, and I've seen that you have put in a lot of information. The information is very detailed on some of the unsung heroes of Zambia. Again, what's your motivation there, and where do you get your information from? Some of the information you put out there, I don't think I've seen it in any textbook in Zambia.
Okay. My motivation on that one, let me put it straight like this. When I was a kid and I'd go to the American, what was that, the American Library in Lusaka, I would read about people that would be considered non-entities in America, made into celebrities. How can I explain that? There would be, for example, I read something about Bobby Brown. That time he was just coming up. He's a singer. He was coming up. But that book talked so well about him. Why? Because he's an American singer. American books, they were trying to format their people to become some sort of celebrities to us so that we can accept them like that. Here's my point. Zambians do not know how to celebrate people and their achievements. And I thought that for us to go to higher levels, we need to appreciate people's talents and potentials. Okay? For example, Matilda, I've worked with you you came to Atlanta and helped us have, I think, one of the biggest events we've ever had because of your input. I believe that's a talent that you have, and if we decide to magnify that strength, you know, you will become actually even a better force, a potentially more positive force for us as Zambians. You know, you'd be advantageous for us, and that's the purpose of that page. That page is a sort of.
Have we lost our guest? Siddiq, are you there? Okay, it looks like the line has just dropped. While we try to reconnect, I want to say that our guest, I mean, I'm very humbled by him just pointing out that I played a part in the event that they had. So in the meantime, let me just call on Pastor Nathan to see if he has any comments while I wait to connect with the guest. Nathan, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I know you've had a chance to work with Siddiq before, and so far, what do you think on the interview?
He's doing okay. It's good to hear a Zambian who is determined and passionate about his country and people, as he has put it. one point, the point that he just made before he dropped off, where he said, Zambians, we need to learn to celebrate each other. That's very, very important. I mean, we need to encourage and learn to support each other, promote, and just be excited about another Zambian. I mean, we always make this comparison, Matilda, but when you look at our colleagues, the West Africans and the East Africans, oh my goodness, they're just so crazy about themselves and each other, and they are very supportive. We are getting there. We've done well in the past few years, and I believe, especially in the diaspora here in America, we've done quite a bit better than in the past few years.
Absolutely, and yes, we are a humble group of people, but at the same time, you can only be humble for so long. I mean, I'm not saying we should be boastful, but there's a time and place to when you can talk about your achievements, and I don't think we've really done a great job as a, you know, a Zambian people to talk about
there's a difference between being humble and timid. You see, the thing is, most of us Zambians, we hide in the word humility, like you are saying, but the truth of the matter is that we are just a timid people. I'm sorry to say that, but that's just, but like I'm saying, we've done better in the past few years compared to the previous time, and we seem to be getting there. And we've made progress, but we can do better.
Thank you. It seems we're having a problem for Sadiq to call back. I'm not sure why the call dropped.
Yeah.
And
I'm here.
Okay,
hello.
Great. All right, good. Go ahead. So the line dropped off when you were talking about...
Yes. Yes.
How
can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you very well.
Yes, and I was hearing what Vanathan was saying. Yes, we have to be excited about our Zambian achievers. You know, every little thing that you do for the country is an achievement, and it's a stepping stone to greater heights for Zambia. So why not celebrate each other? Look at the way they have awards for people like Michael Jackson and even someone who's not even close to being as huge as Michael Jackson. Someone like, for example, Heavy D. You know, these guys are celebrated. You know, put on a bit of, in Africa, the only people that you celebrate are politicians. That's it. You don't celebrate business people. You don't celebrate this. You know, we have to come to that point where we, every Zambian that does a little something for the country is appreciated, because when you're appreciated, you're encouraged to take your talent or your passion to higher levels, you know.
Now, when you had once featured, and this is just a side note, you had featured some of Zambia's most wanted criminals. Of course, now they are no longer walking the earth with us. But what made you just feature them and just tell their story?
Okay, if you noticed, I don't know whether you read everything about it, but I actually was celebrating the people. Like, for example, in the case of Mushala, I was celebrating the soldiers that risked their lives to go and hunt for this guy, and I think I ended my article with a eulogy to one of them, you know, and also thank the families that supported those soldiers and everything. So in a way, I'm trying to say, yes, look, this is our history. This is what has happened. This is what almost happened for Zambia. But there were people that were alert, that were people that had a passion for peace, that they did what they did to stop this from happening.
Do you have any ambitions of actually publishing this in print form?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Okay.
Do. I do. Yes.
We should connect you with one of our Zambian authors, Teresa Lungu. She recently wrote a book. We featured her last week, so maybe we can put you in connection with her and see what we can do. So now moving along, before we talk about the issues in the diaspora, quickly highlight this Zambian Scorpion you have started. You started it in less than 2 or 3 weeks, and it has quickly grown. What is that all about?
What can I say about that? That one is really just a forum, a social and political forum for people to express their views on, in terms of politics and the happenings in Zambia. Now, furthermore, I'm determined to have that become a news publication in paper form in Zambia, and that wasn't actually my idea, but the moment I launched it, I had business men and women in Zambia propose that. They were saying, look, this is what's happening with the Post, and there's a void, and we feel that that we can do this. I think I'm speaking ahead of myself, but really, that's the view. that's the direction I'm taking it seriously. And there are certain things I'm not shy to talk about. And so, if I'm going to tell you the vision for this, that's the vision actually, to have that in paper form. And already the website is about to be launched. Zambian Scorpion website, and I'll give you more information about that later.
Okay, that's great. So we'll now circle back to Diasporan Truth, and we'll look at what is affecting us in the diaspora. Recently, just at the start of the show, I mentioned that there's another death in the Zambian community. And we haven't seen this in a long time. I don't think, well, as long as I have been here, I don't think we've had that many deaths of Zambians back to back. I think from the month of August, I know the Dallas community was hit real bad between August and September. And also California has suffered, I think this is their second, if not third, loss. So let's start with that. You are seen usually in the forefront in raising funds for the deceased.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
How did you get started?
Okay. First of all, I'm not proud of myself in that area. Why? Because as a leader, I should have foreseen these things happening. Look, we are a growing community in America, okay? So if we grow from 500 to 2,000 to 50,000, you expect casualties because we're a growing community, you know? There'll be more and more of this happening. Somebody said, let's pray against it. Yes, that's true. We ought to pray, but we're also a growing community. And we've got bigger challenges as the community grows in America. So, as leaders, and I've been a leader since 2008, we should have had some sort of a national leadership committee that should have foreseen these things happening, so that we promote stuff like life insurance. Because in America, you can get anything you want. You know what I mean? If we could have promoted life insurance for all Zambians, we wouldn't be doing this task of raising money, you know, taxing people's finances like that. I know it's a Zambian thing to do. People love to give. Zambians care about each other, and we are so thankful that every funeral we've successfully raised funds to send bodies back to Zambia, but we can do better than that. Can I say it's been an achievement? No, it hasn't been, because we could have motivated people to take up stuff like life insurance and stuff, and it would have been easier for us on this long road that we're on. So I've even forgotten what the question was was all about, but I hope
that's
I've
okay.
answered.
You yes. have asked.
Yes.
I know we got a lot of drive, and I think this, I don't think I should call it an initiative, but maybe it is. One of our colleagues, Aka Masheke, I think you worked very closely with him when it came to raising funds for Malitela, the man who died in Czechoslovakia. And I know other Zambians, not just in the U.S., but, you know, in other countries, joined in raising funds. Then came to the lady in South Africa who had mental issues and was homeless. That was a big effort. Now, you know, what moves you? Do people ask you to participate? Is it something that you said there's a need? A need to solve this need?
A little bit of both. When I became president of Zambians in Atlanta, I thought my responsibility was for my community here in Atlanta. But then I remember when the Malitela issue happened in Czech Republic, Zambians started calling me and asking me whether I could help. I wasn't sure about that, you know. But then I remember that night. I said, thinking about it, I was a few things were not making sense concerning that young boy's death. So I said, no, let's see, you know, let me talk to Masheke. And Masheke and I discussed, and he knew of that young boy, and I think my passion just grew for that, can I call it, case. And the rest was history, because I didn't know that people would be that supportive. You know, in less than 3 days, we had the whole world supporting us concerning that, and that was the motivation for us to do what we're doing. And from that moment forward, we thought, you know what, if the helpless are there and they need help, why not help, especially if it's legitimate? I mean, we're not going to help people that are drinking and getting into trouble and stuff, but if something is genuine and they are Zambians and we are leaders, well, let's help. And it's been like that ever since.
Do you see yourself as a philanthropist?
Yes. I've always been. Only that I just didn't. I just never had the money.
Philanthropy, you can have money driven by donations over the internet, and I think you and working with others.
I think I am in a way. I am already. You know, and I've always been like that. Actually, even when I was a kid, I would see, for example, some bully beating up somebody, and I was very small. I would always stand up for the victim. It's always been like that. I'm a very indignant person, if that's the word, so the actual what you use. I'm like that. You know, I like to speak out when I realize that something is just not adding up or making sense, and I guess that has become part of me in, you know, at this age.
So I also understand whenever you get a chance to visit Zambia, you always, well, I shouldn't say always, but as often as you have, you give money to the street kids. Is it a random act of kindness, or is it something you organize with another church or another organization?
No, not even that. You see, I took when I became a Christian, I took everything I was told literally. For example, when I was told that if you have sex before marriage, you're going to hell, I took that extremely literally, and I think we ought to. And I'll say this: I have been, until probably quite recent, been a stickler to that. If the Bible says go out and preach the gospel, that's what I'll do. I would go to Matero and I'll preach the gospel, and people would be laughing at me. And I was a kid that time, so that's just who I think I've always been. I would do something even alone. As long as the Bible says do so and so, I would do it. And I think that stayed with me, you know. And so if I go to Zambia, I don't have to call upon the Salvation Army or any organization to help me go to the streets and give. I just go there and I put it on my status and say, this is what I'm going to do for the Yankees. I mean, it's not something that should be academic. It has to be something that's just common sense. If little kids in the streets are begging you for food and stuff, and you know that these kids, I mean, the little that you have, at least, you know, give if you have a heart. You know, that's just who I believe I am. You know.
Well said. Well said. We need to be a people that give. I am your host, Matilda Mwava Lucas. I'm standing in today for Twambo Kapilikishon Aspirin Truth. If you have a question for Sadiq Gelo, please press 1. Or if you're listening online and you have a question that you really want to ask, you can send a message on Facebook. You can inbox me. I'm at Matilda Mwava Lucas. You should be able to find me. So now, I want to talk about, with us being in the diaspora, we are just a sample of the population, the Zambian population here. A lot of times, and you as an association leader, I'm sure you deal with this all the time, what are you doing to help Zambians work together? A lot of times we fail to work together because of petty issues. So how do you get past that to say, you know, we need to be bigger than this, let's work together as one?
You know what? I have never failed to work with anyone. I can say that. Why? Because even though my character is that of a very, I'm a very strong-willed person, but for a greater cause, I believe that it's important for me to bring out the best in someone else. For example, there are people that are as strong-willed as myself. People like Stephen Banda, very strong-willed character. People like Masheke, very, very strong-willed guys. But I've realized that these guys are extremely intelligent, and they have a heart for Zambia as much as I do, and because of that, let me bring out the best of them. Let me find out what drives them, and let me find out how I will work with them. You know, I can work with them, under them, or above them. I don't care, as long as we get this thing started. I've always kept that concept, and I've never failed to work with anyone because of that. So the situations that we've gone through, funerals, the projects, and whatever, have worked with that concept in mind. I've got a very strong-willed administration in Zambian Scorpion. If you read what we talk about in the chat room, you'd be like, wow. But I make sure that everyone's discussion and everyone's point is taken into consideration and is respected, you know. And I think like that, you move forward.
Okay. So I see that we have a question here from, we have the switchboard is lighting up here. So I'll go ahead and call on Mr. Charlie to ask his question. Roger, good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Lucas. Good morning, Sadiq, and a good job. We commend you for a big heart that you have, my brother, and keep it up. I want to take you back to the issue of either life insurance or just us preparing ourselves. This issue cannot be put on the side burner anymore. If it needs to take the bull by its horn, we in the Zambian in diaspora, we may have to take the bull by its horn. Maybe humble characters like yourself may need to lead the way. Some of us may not be very, can be very tough sometimes, and people can run away. But this needs to be done. We cannot continue to fool ourselves anymore. Questions need to be asked on a family level. If I died today, the question is, what will my children do with my body? If one of my children, if I have a child died, what am I going to do with them? These are serious questions we need to ask and very, very frank with ourselves. To keep on, I think, fooling ourselves, I think that time now is long overdue. Whether someone wants, I was talking to someone the other day, whether they want to be part of it, to buy insurance or not, we are going to force some people to do it.
Yes. Hello.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. Actually, you know what? What you've said is it's very, very important. It's actually a blueprint to us moving forward. I'll say this. We have five Zambians that are licensed in life insurance, and they're gonna and we are positioning them to start helping us, you know, get to that level. And also, personally, because I believe I work well with people, I thought, you know what, I might as well jump into a paddy wagon too. Let me also get an insurance license. So I'm already in school for that, you know. Mm-hmm. Or not because of anything, but because I want to make sure that this thing comes through. And so if I personally am involved, you know, and stuff, and try to help my people, probably half the problems that we have will be sorted out within the next year and a half.
Right.
Yes.
Rod, do you have a follow-up question, or I can go ahead and call on the next person?
I know. Thank you so much for that answer. I would say is I welcome you. Sadiq, please stay along, and those who have called on top of the hour, we should have two so far of confirmed members of parliament in the opposition. All of us know what they did through the weekend. It is something of greater magnitude. We need to support them. So I invite everyone, please stay on so we can give a message of support to the members of parliament coming up on top of the hour. Thank you, Ms. Lucas.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much, Mr. Charlie. I see we have a question here from caller 913. Area code ending in 2282. Please state your name and ask your question or make your comment.
Hello, my name is Abu Nyoenda. Being from Kansas City, I just want to say I'm so proud of you, Matilda. All the Zambians in Kansas City are very proud of what you're doing, and we love you. My question for Mr. Sadiq is, it's not new that Mr. Sadiq is more like the face of the Zambian diaspora. So my question for him was, is there any way the Zambian Association in Atlanta can go nationwide in America to try to organize some other associations to organize ourselves even more better? Because I know there's so many people that can do it, but I can't see of anyone but Mr. Sadiq. So I'm just trying to ask Mr. Sadiq, like, do you have any intentions of trying to organize Zambian associations like in Chicago, Baltimore, LA, pretty much like just form like a huge Zambian association to try to be communicating in terms of like funerals, someone is sick, someone needs help. At least we have like information, because when people die, like someone dies in Los Angeles, we just hear like maybe, oh, the information is like someone is dead, or in Baltimore there's a funeral. So there's that disorganization. So I'm just trying to see like if he has, you know, intentions of just like organizing, just like having like a very formidable organization of the Zambian associations in America, so to speak. Thank you.
Thank you, Zabron.
Okay. Yes. By the way, I'd like to thank you, Zebron, for helping us host a very, very, very successful event last October, Independence. You were very, very helpful. Thank you for everything that you did, taking people to the airport, bringing them from there and stuff. And yet you're not even an Atlanta resident. You just came and just, you know, got into the swing of things. Thank you so much. You're such a great brother.
You're welcome.
Yes, actually, yeah, let me even say this. Yes, right now talks are underway. We are chat rooms with leaders from all over the states. I'm sure by next month we should have something concrete, crystallized, that will give to the people and for them to vote and stuff. So we'll let you know. But that one is a definite yes.
Okay. All right, great. Sadiq, there's a question from the internet here. We have a question from Croatia. Mr. Mwanza, Ray Panji Mwanza wants to know if how you intend to make the New Scorpion Group different from the other forums that you have on online. So how do you stand out?
It's already different. It's already different. But let me tell you some other things that we've actually enacted. Starting next month, the best articles that will be presented there, or anyone that just writes a brilliant article on Zambian Scorpion, will be rewarded end of the month. We have a panel of people that will vote and say, okay, this month, who put up the best post. You know, and when we say best post, we're talking about something that's positive, something that is different, something that is progressive and stuff like that, you know. And we will send that person wherever they are, whether Croatia, Zambia, whatever, with starting with probably like $50, you know, just to motivate them, you know, to write good articles. Because some people just put up posts because they are bored or because they're motivated by hatred. They hate someone, so they put up a post and stuff, childish posts, and that scares people that think professionally away, you know. So
right. That's
one way that we are going to promote this group.
Okay. We look forward to growth of the Zambian Scorpion. We have another question here from area code 847, last numbers ending in 8615. Introduce yourself and ask your question or make your comment.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
My name is William Sikazi. I'm the vice president of the Chicago Association here in Chicago. I just have a comment what Sadiq is saying. I mean, I concur whatever he's saying. And for the past 5 weeks, we've had a lot of challenges in Chicago. As you may know, Chicago is one of the probably second to Atlanta with the largest Zambian population. So we've had like 5 deaths in our community. And just from talking to members, everybody managed to send those bodies back to Zambia. But we've had a challenge of recruiting members and becoming members of the association, because our constitution says, and this was done when the association was first formed, that we are only going to help people, Zambians, who are members of our association. So that this was meant to attract people to come into the fort, so that we can work together and see the way forward. But of late, we've had all these challenges, and we are changing this thing to something that can help everybody now. And what we're going to be having in April is we're having a convention. Instead of having an AGM, we're going to have a convention where we're going to invite all the Zambian community here in Chicago to come up and share their views. And I would like to take this opportunity of inviting Sadiq. You'll probably be our main speaker there. To come and just say a few things on the insurance stuff and just how to go about the whole thing.
Oh, yes, okay.
Yeah, yes. So our main objectives are being looked upon by our executive members here, and we're working hard, and the recruitment is going in the right direction. And we have members, maybe 100 and something members right now, so we still have to recruit more. So we hope that the convention, which is coming up in sometime in April, will bring all the Zambians together, because, I mean, people have apathy towards certain things. So if you have them and let them see what's going on in the community, this, that, and people with no insurance, this might just hit home, and people might just come in and join. So we've been fighting with insurance companies to see how we can go about this thing. We had two insurance companies come and talk to our members when we had our AGM. But the thing that they brought up was that people with no social security card cannot get insurance. So it was hard for them to do anything. Without a green card, no social security card, you know, it was a little bit hard. But I think that there's a way of getting around that, but we can help for the Zambians. So I just want the DG to comment about that and see the way forward.
Okay. Yes. By the way, thank you so much. I spoke to you and just a minute after speaking with you, I realized what a patriot you are and how much you love the Zambians. You've never been president of Chicago, but you have served as vice to two presidents. You just have a heart for people, and I thank God for people like you, leaders like you. You are my leader. I'm really inspired by you. First of all, you know the Bible says that man was not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. You see, these constitutions that we have in our communities, at the if you're not a member, you can't do certain things. They're good. They're very, very good. We need them. But I also want people to know that the Constitution was not. People were not made for the Constitution. The Constitution was made for them. If that Constitution is not working, then amend it. Do something about it. For example, when I became president of Atlanta, the Constitution said that if you're not a paid-up member and you die, we can't do anything about it. So imagine a Zambian dies, and then because the Constitution says he was not a paid member, so you just leave him there. What will that speak about you to the people? And your argument is, well, because they were not paying their dues. I think personally, if somebody was not paying their dues and then they get into trouble, as in paying rent or other things, well, then we can substantiate the fact that they do not deserve help. But when someone dies, it's just very, very traditionally Zambian that the whole community rallies behind that family and helps the best they can, including the association itself. But I don't think I'm supposed to be the one to go to any association and say, this is what you should do. I'll just tell them and say, look, this is how it has worked for us. That constitution is supposed to be made for us. We are not supposed to be made for that constitution. And that's just what I think about it. But I should also say this concerning Chicago. When our lady friend died and everything, they have been very, 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 very organized, and they took up 90% of the chunk of the money to take that body back to Zambia, and we applaud them for that. But we just, as we keep moving, as we keep progressing, we learn from each other. Atlanta learns from Chicago, Chicago learns from LA, LA learns from Philadelphia, and then we'll become one strong, solid force.
Great answer, Sadiq. Yes. And Mr. Sikaza, I hope we can find some time to include in some of the discussions that Sadiq is having with other leaders. We are working closely with other association leaders in the United States. But we're up just for time. We have about 7 minutes before the program ends, but let's see if we can add one more caller, 972 ending in 0916. State your name and ask your question.
Hi, good morning, Mrs. Lucas. This is Steven Banda.
Good morning, Mr. Banda. Good to hear your voice.
The pleasure is mine. My brother, Sadiq, good morning.
Good morning, man of God. Strong-willed man. I love you.
Oh, you know I love you more. We come from a long way together. And
long way.
I promised you, I wanted to stay in the background so that, you know, you could exculpate yourself in these very important matters. And I just want to let you know that you've done such a great job.
Amen.
And I am proud of you. But I just wanted to, I think, at not to throw everything under the carpet or go over ourselves, but I think the question from the gentleman, the vice president for the association in Chicago, when you look at the nitty-gritties of insurance companies, their number one policy or rule, they don't want to pay. You will pay them for your whole life. And once you make a claim, they don't want to pay. And they use a lot of other clauses that they want to catch you. For sure, they will not insure anyone without a social security or without a green card because if you're not here legitimately, the insurance company will not look at you because they also have to follow the law and the BOC code that organizes them. But the easiest thing that I have found out that I can let all my brothers and sisters know is funeral homes, you know, they have what they call pre-need. When you go to a funeral home, you, as an association, you can draw a policy with them called pre-need. And that pre-need will cover the association, and the association will cover its people. So say if someone dies in L.A. and the association has a pre-need with any of the funeral home, the funeral home will pay for all the expenses pertaining to that funeral. It doesn't matter whether they have papers or they don't have papers. That is a very benevolent way of looking at this at prima facie as we are working on this. But as you know, we are trying to talk to the insurance companies in Zambia, Madison and Zambia State, to see if they can draw group policies for different associations that exist in diaspora. So that way we can do a symbiotic relationship with other, you know, Zambian companies. But I think this will be discussed more as we go. And right, since you are running out of time, Mr. Lucas, I think I'm going to end here, but I thought I could quickly chip in that.
Yeah, you know, and that's exactly what I meant when I said we learn from each other. That's a very, very, very cardinal point that President Stephen has said. And we'll look into it, and we're so glad that President Stephen, who's also the Dallas, president of Zambians there, is part of the panel of national leaders that are currently engaging in conversations, and I'm sure that is going to be brought up, and we'll take it to another level.
Absolutely,
yeah.
No problem.
Mr. Bunn, thank you so much. It never fails. Just when you have a few more minutes, that's when everybody wants to ask a question. There is a question, Sadiq, and I hope you find time to answer this. You know, you've answered very well, and are politics in your future? Do you have any political ambitions? Once you answer that, I have Nathan who wants to ask a question, and we have two more people. I'm not sure if we'll get everybody. But any political ambitions in the future?
The answer is yes.
Okay, great. In fact, yes. Okay, and Mr. Nathan, go ahead and ask your question.
Okay, thank you, Matilda. Sadiq, two quick questions. Michael Sata, as an opposition presidential candidate, was scheduled to come to Atlanta. What went wrong? There were rumors that the MMD government complained to the State Department of the U.S. and they denied him a visa. Clarify or confirm that. Secondly, very quickly, there is a lot of unhealthy relationship between diaspora residents and the Zambian embassy. How best can we improve on that?
Okay. The first question was it about Sata before he became president?
Yes. Remember, he was supposed to come to Atlanta,
yes.
Isn't it? You remember? Yeah. What happened?
Okay. I'll be honest for the first time about that. When Vasata was coming, remember that time there was a pact between between PF and UPND. Now, when he was bringing his people here, some people in UPND who had a pact with him said, look, the people that you're taking to Atlanta are of a certain tribe. and a certain affiliation. So when they spoke with Sata, Sata said, okay, let's change this thing. Let's include more people and let's subtract others. But others said, we already got visas to come. So problems, issues started showing there, and then Sata said, Kansha, I'm not going. When I called him, he hung up on me, and that was it about that. That's what I know. The embassy did call me and they asked me what was going on. I told them, look, we are going to facilitate this meeting as a national leader. He's a national leader. We're not going to welcome him as an opposition leader, but as a national leader. Vasaka has done a lot for Zambia, and they agreed with it. They said, okay, that's fine. I hope I've answered that one. The second one, the embassy currently is a very, very pliable embassy, I should admit. They are more humble than the last one. Their press secretary, Patricia Litia, works with us. Right now she's part of a group that is trying to help the diaspora reach somewhere in America, and she talks to the ambassador, who wants to meet all of us, and he has actually wanted to meet you, Vanathan, because you are such a very, 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 very important Zambian here in America. So we are glad. So far we are getting somewhere.
Okay.
Yes.
You've answered those loaded questions in a very short time. I'm impressed with your timekeeping, Asidik. Coming up at the hour is Business Forum with Roger Charlie. He has three members of parliament from different opposition parties, so that will be very interesting. I urge all of you who have called to not to drop, but to stay on when the hour starts, at the top of the hour. And let's see if we can squeeze one quick question. 602, ending in 7483. Your question or comment, and today make a brief.
Mm-hmm. It's not a question, it's a comment. My name is Jabez Mvula from Arizona. How are you, Sadiq, Andy? How are you, Matthew?
Oh, I'm fine. Nice to hear your voice.
Thank you. So my comments, I'll comment on two things very, very briefly. One, it was the issue that was raised by our brother from Chicago. We in Arizona, we are one of the small organizations. And I want to just to share with my friends that we are in a situation where members don't ever pay membership. And during the time I've been leading, we've actually discussed like three times trying to say, let's bring down the amount of memberships that people can pay. First and foremost, in the executive, we failed to agree to let people pay. And so people don't even pay. The capital that we began with to have an account, we just said all members in the executive put up some money, and then we began with that. So we have members that don't want to pay unless they've got a problem. They don't want to get involved unless there's a problem, and that's when they'll come forward. We basically had a policy whereby we won't say, if you have a problem, we won't assist you. We'll assist whoever, and hoping that eventually people will see the benefit and then can get involved more and more as we go on. And the second comment I was going to make was on the issue between the embassy and the members. I've spoken to a few people, not so many, but a few people. I think it's an issue where people believe, are already convinced that the embassy does nothing. The embassy is not good. I think it's important for people to understand that what is the role of the embassy in our lives when we're foreign, we're outside. So sometimes they expect so much. The other problem is that there are people that may not have all the paperwork, and they feel like dealing with the embassy, giving out the information, the embassy may put in their database, and of course the government here may access the database and know who is not here legal and stuff like that. So we've created a situation whereby it's an artificial bridge between the embassy and us, which I believe, as Sidika said, the way Patricia has come forward wanting to engage everyone, I hope us leaders can try to explain to our members that the embassy is not as bad as we think, and possibly we can build a better relationship between ourselves and between us and the embassy.
That's right. That's right. Let's just give it. Let's give it another year because we're working with the embassy, and then we'll see where we can go from there. But so far, at least they're responsive. We are responsive, and we'll see where we can go from there. And
all right.
And we'll discuss the community thing later at another interview, probably. But thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much, everybody, for calling in on Blog Zambia Blog Talk Radio, Diaspora and Truth. Coming up is Business Forum with Roger Charlie. Please don't drop. The show starts in a minute.
But I'm thinking of you, and just when I feel this crazy world is gonna bring me down, that's when your smile comes around. Ooh, I love the way you hold me by my side. You'll always be a take each and every day, make it special in some way. I love the way you hold me in your arms. I'll always be a take each and every day, make it special in some way. I love you more than the words in my brain can express. I can't imagine even loving you less, Lord.
Hello.
Hello, 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 hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon to you.
Okay, thank you, thank you. Let's join
let's join the
discussion. Again, my name is Roger Chali here. My name is Roger, I'll repeat that. Roger Chali from Okotok, South Beta, Canada, where it is cold. It is minus 34 degrees this morning. So you dare go outside. We are in the cold. While in Zambia, they are celebrating. This morning, I have two members of parliament, opposition members of parliament who have joined us. One has failed to confirm. I have Honorable Michael Kayingu, who is in Lusaka this afternoon, and Cornelius Mwetwa. Gentlemen, good afternoon.
Afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
Yes, I have two of you who have done, I think, a marvelous, marvelous job. I have a lot of Zambians in diaspora today. We want, first and foremost, to commend you for the job which you did in the past week. And we want to find out what next as we go forward. As I have said to my fellow members of the diaspora, we have MP, Mr. Cornelius Mwetwa. I think he's MP for either Choma Central, he's going to tell us. And Mr. Honorable Michael,
yes,
yeah, Michael Kayingu. Mwetwa, how did this opposition, let's call it Kafwafwa, but it's a good Kafwafwa. How did it start in Parliament the other day?
Well, thank you very much. I don't really and really think that it's kafafa.
No, it's not. It's not. It's lack of a better way.
Given the seriousness that is attached to the
right.
matter,
that's right.
I think that it's not kafafa.
I apologize for that.
The people of Zambia, the people of Zambia have been taken for a ride for far too long. Ever since 1971, when we began constitutional reform, you recall that Zambia in 1964 was handed a colonial constitution which prescribed that the president for the new country or whatever country, Zambia, was going to be David Kaunda. So that was pretty colonial, and although at that time we celebrated independence, we didn't really have independence because the person we were given to lead the country was actually given to us by the colonial master. But by 1971,
we as the people of Zambia had begun to review our constitution being the grand law of the country so that we can rule ourselves. So that is where we began from. And from that time to date, we've never had
a proper,
really, a people-driven constitution.
Yes. Let me apologize for using that word, because I am the supporter of, like a lot of Zambians, who supported what you have done. Under my title, under the theme, if you go and meet your colleagues, Honorable Kayingu, please tell them, some of the members of the diaspora, we are calling you the defenders. You are the defenders of freedom. You are the defenders of peace in our nation. Because we see what is happening in Egypt. We see what is happening in Ukraine today. There is breaking news right now. Russia wants to invade Ukraine. Those are some of the things you people, from your actions you took last week, those are the things you are going to prevent. And I'm sure, I'm not sure you really understand the magnitude of those actions, Honorable Kayingu.
Yes, good morning.
It's 8 a.m. here in Canada. In Alberta, actually.
Yeah.
All right. For some reason, Honorable Kayingu's number is we can't hear you. I'll see you if he's still with us. Okay. He dropped. I'll go to Vamwetwa here. I don't know if I'm going to have time to try and connect him, but I'll try. Vamwetwa, same to you. Do you understand the magnitude of what you did last week? Like I said, some of us are calling you defenders of freedom. You are the defenders of peace in Zambia. You are preventing chaos to happen in the street, and you've rather taken up government in parliament. Do you understand this role which you have taken up in parliament?
Very well, and very well indeed. Mm-hmm. We do understand the exact extent of the scope of the sphere of influence of our action. It has to be understood that we have a democracy in Zambia which promotes separation of powers.
Hello?
The executive, the legislature, and of course the judiciary.
Yeah.
Now, what we have decided as legislature is that the ruling party, the PF, after promising the people of Zambia of a people-driven constitution, have decided to renegade on the same. So we have said we are going to take any necessary, you know, measures to ensure that we protect the people's views. And by being members of parliament, we do know very well that we do not only represent our views, but the views of the people who elected us to this house, parliament.
Okay.
So what we are doing is not out of our making, but it is out of the making of the people we represent who do not have an opportunity to have our views heard. And I would like to state here that we are going to continue with this action.
Yes.
You know, further. And we're not going to back down. And we are actually prepared. Let me make it very, very categoric. We are prepared for the president to dissolve parliament if he deems it fit, our behavior and becoming. We are prepared that he deserves it dissolves parliament so that we go to general elections. And I can assure you in the diaspora that President Michael Sata will lose that election miserably.
Okay. Let me bring in Honorable Kayungu here. That is news being made, Nathan, here. The opposition are prepared to dissolve this parliament. This is breaking news, which we are going to be reporting all over the internet and probably in Lusaka time. They are prepared, and we are with you in all the action representing us. Honorable Kayungu, I'm sorry your phone cut. Please come in wherever Bamwetwa left off and maybe add on your one or two comments there.
Yeah, I share in his sentiments. First of all, maybe I want, for me, I would rather put it this way. It's regrettable that we have to go to this extent. It's not really our intention to disrupt the business in the house. But the circumstances prevailing now show that, a radical situation must be set with a radical approach.
That's correct.
And this is the approach that the members of parliament have decided to take. The consequences really to us are not important, whether the parliament is going to be closed or not. I totally agree with my colleague. So it's not really that we want to be unruly. No, but all we want to do is to express that the problem that is at hand, the constitution, must be adhered. I mean, the enactment of the constitution must be adhered to. And we have set for ourselves the process, which I think was approved by everybody, and that after the technical committee, the document that will come out as a draft document will be given to the president and to the people of Zambia simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
And after we look at that document, the document then will go for the referendum. As simple as that. So we are it's not for us really to cause problems. But I must hasten to say here that I'm really a great fan that the Zambians in the diaspora are showing this concern. That's how it should be.
We are with you all the way, as you are going to hear from a lot of my colleagues who have called in and those who are listening online. If you want to call and participate, send a message of support to the members of parliament, and we are with them and we support every action they are taking. The number to call is 1-347-237-4270. Call us on Zambia Block Talk Radio and be part of this discussion. I'll be going to the phone lines very, very soon. Bamwetwa, what should we expect? The speaker said on Tuesday there's supposed to be something to happen. What are you expecting to be done on Tuesday?
Well, I cannot really speak for the speaker and what we expect to happen on Tuesday. But what has to be categorically stated is this, that on Tuesday, when we go to Parliament, we, as members of the opposition, MMD, UPND, NDD, and Independent Member of Parliament, we are going there to ensure that a roadmap be set out in the House that will clearly stipulate the steps we are taking as a nation towards the enactment of a new constitution. We have since come to a realization, and indeed it is inherent in us, that as members of Parliament, our sole and most important and fundamental role is to ensure that we enact laws
a member of parliament is referred to as a lawmaker.
Yes.
Now, the citizens have demanded that we do enact a new law that is going to spur economic development. And it is in line with that aspiration of the people of Zambia that we enact a new law as lawmakers, that we are going ahead to press hard to ensure that the executive facilitates for an opportunity for a people-driven constitution. And we are not backing out on this. And in fact, while some people or members of the executive would have thought that we would like to tone down so that we continue to sit in the House and receive allowances. Allowances are nothing if the people of this country are not receiving the benefit of them voting for us. We are prepared for Parliament to have done sign dying at the expense of our allowances. We are prepared for Parliament to dissolve at the expense of our allowances, and indeed a campaign, so that for once we show the people of Zambia and indeed the entire international community that Zambia, having been a beacon of peace in this country, in this region, is desirous to move its economy forward. There is a symbiotic relation, an intrinsic and inextricable symbiotic relationship between the economy and governance.
Yes.
That must be struck. And for us, we are saying, if they want to adjourn Parliament time dying because we are making it difficult for them to govern, so be it. And we are prepared to leave without parliamentary allowances.
Okay.
If they want to dissolve Parliament so that we go to fresh elections, all of us have put our interests on the line. Let there be a general election. Let me go in my constituency. And if people think I have served my purpose or I have failed to serve my purpose as a member of parliament, let them elect a representative of their choice. So we are game. We are ready. But what we are saying is this. It is not about us. It is about the people who elected us. The Speaker of the National Assembly of Zambia on Wednesday made it very categoric to say, hello?
Hello.
He made it very categoric to say.
I'm sorry, let me just say, Honorable Kayungu, your background, we're having another discussion, so it is overlapping what is being said. Please help us. Go ahead.
No, it's just that I'm now being made just a listener, not a participant.
Oh, no, you
so
will.
Maybe why should my phone be on?
Okay.
Let me switch off my phone. When you are ready to call me, please do so.
Okay. Honorable Mojwa, please go on. Yes.
Well, I thought that it was just an interaction and an exchange of views, and I was saying that for us as opposition, we're working together to ensure that this constitution, which in the words of the Speaker of the National Assembly has eluded Zambia since 1971, should reach a conclusive end.
Okay. Let me end there and call on Honorable Kayungu here. Honorable Kayungu, the Law Association of Zambia, this is my final question. A lot of people have called in, those are invited. The Law Association of Zambia have come in support of what you have done. We have the FDD have come in support of what you are doing. The Coalition for the Constitution, the civil society, has come. What is the general mood in the country? What is the general mood in the country of the actions you took in Parliament the other day, Wakain?
I think the general mood really driven by the civil society.
Yes.
It started by them. We had two prayers, one in Lusaka and the one in the Commonwealth. And we thought that this government was going to be responsive.
Yeah.
But what you are saying is that the government is adamant. And since the government is adamant, that's why us as the people's representatives who have decided to join, you know, we had given it to the civil society to drive it. And we really thought that the government was going to respond. But what we are saying is that the government is adamant. And then for us, it's important that we join him, because otherwise then our role in the parliament will be meaningless.
Okay. Let me now go to the phone lines. A lot of my friends, those who have either a question, but I don't want to force you to give the honorable members of parliament support, but we need to tell them what we feel about their action. Let me go to Texas right now. Texas, Nathan Nkama, please come in for Honorable Mwetwa and Honorable Kayingu here. Okay, Texas is not on. I'll go to Chicago, Master Kazwe. Good morning. Well, is it Will on Kazwe? Master Kazwe, good morning. Okay.
Because I'm struggling, we should have gone with the other side.
All right. I'll go to Mr. Mvula. Mr. Mvula, 027483. Mr. Mvula, good morning.
That's okay.
I'm not sure if my phone lines are working right, because everyone cannot just go quiet. Let me try my good friend Priscilla in Ohio. Ohio, good morning, Priscilla.
Roger, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Priscilla. Please go ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to commend our members of parliament for the bold move and courageous move for pressing the agenda for the constitution. And I just wanted to tell you that your representation in the House of Parliament is very encouraging. It just goes to show that we, as the Zambian constituency, even though we may be in the diaspora, are very well, are being represented in a very well, in a very well-meaning way. So that's what I have to say. I've been following the events very keenly, and we just want to tell you that please, you have our support, and do not let up. Do not let up at all. Just keep on doing what you're doing, and you have our full support. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Priscilla. Those
Hello.
Who are calling, I don't know if I was able to get anyone. Your phone
Hello?
Line is yes, please go ahead. Who's on the phone?
Okay. Jabez.
Jabez Mvula, good morning.
Good morning. I have a
Jabez,
question for
you.
Jabez,
you are in Arizona. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, please go ahead.
I have a question for the honorable members of parliament. I'd
okay.
like to know, having begun the process that they are doing, in a sane and the normal situation, in an event that our parliament will operate in the right way, what would be the next situation, or what would be the next stage from here? It's important for us to know at least where we are going, so that we know if. If let's say the government doesn't bow down, what would happen next?
Okay, Honorable Kayungu, why don't you start, and then Honorable Mwetwa can come in.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you very much, and let me thank you, Madam Priscilla. You see, this is a unique situation, really. A unique situation. I don't think you can determine how you approach it. Strategically, you look at the unique situation as it comes. I should say that you didn't plan what is transpiring now. It was not our wish to disrupt business. I want to insist. But you see, this is a unique situation, and it looks like the government is not responding. So, the consequences after what has happened so far will be very difficult to predict. We don't really know what will take place. But we are prepared as members of parliament to go all the way to a level where it means that the institution will not should be governable. So be to a level where they should close it if they want to close it. But you see, the idea is not really to close the institution. The idea is really to ask for the roadmap, as my colleague has already said. So we are trying to pressurize so that we know exactly, for example, when is the technical committee handing the document to the president simultaneously to the people of Zambia. And the day after, we want to know what will take place. I think that's how I look at it myself. So it's a unique situation. I may not be able to predict it. I don't know what my colleague says.
One way to answer you.
Well, I think that Honorable Kaingu has made it very, very crystal clear. For us as members of parliament, we are not being unreasonable. Contrary to certain media assertions that we are acting out of political persuasion, we are actually acting out of national persuasion. And we are not likely, in any event, to be persuaded by anybody to back out of this noble cause that we have embarked on. From 1964, when we got our independence, various commissions, starting with the Muvunga Commission, starting with the Chona Commission of 1971-72, to review the constitution was instituted. We went on to the Muvunga Commission of 1996. Then we went on, you know, Chona, Muvunga. Then we went on the Mungomba Commission. And then now we are with the Silungwe Commission, so-called Technical Committee. The people of Zambia have spoken loud and clear what type of constitution they would like for themselves. But those who have sat on the saddles of power at the material time have preferred their interests before the interests of the nation. At the moment, the people of this country have said enough consultations have been done. And for us as UPND, you recall that in 2003, we said we are not going to participate in the Constitutional Review Commission because the people of Zambia have already spoken enough, and now what we need to do is just amalgamate the various submissions of the people and come up through a constituent assembly, the views of the people through the constitution. This hasn't come through. And now we've gotten where we are. And I would like to state, and very categorically so, that we as UPND, and I think as MMD, being the major opposition political parties, wielding the influence of the majority of Zambians, we are united on one thing. The people of Zambia deserve a new constitution, one which will give the presidency legitimacy, one which will reduce presidential powers and devolve powers within institutions of governance so that the people who have the original mandate and power will feel represented through various institutions, unlike now where a president is almost a semi-god. So we are going to press ahead for a people-driven constitution, contrary to what President Sata thinks when he says that, can you tell us where is an animal-driven constitution? It's absurd. It shows that, first of all, the man doesn't understand. Two, he doesn't have advisors who should tell him that
when people talk about the people-driven constitution, they are talking about wider consultation, wider participation, so that a constitution should have legitimacy of ownership by the citizens. Mm. So for us, we are going ahead, and I think that our colleagues in the MMD are on the same page. We are going to press ahead. Come Tuesday, in Parliament, if we are not going to have a favorable report on how to proceed on this issue, we are going to proceed to ensure that the House should not debate any other peripheral or fringing, you know, issues of or standing on the fringes. When we, as elected members of Parliament, we are primarily elected to go and make laws for the country, and for the time being, the people of Zambia have demanded that we should enact a law, the grand law of the country, and we are going to continue to press ahead regardless what someone says.
Okay. You are the defenders of freedom in our country. You are the defenders of peace, and I'm going to keep on hammering on that. Please give that statement even to the speaker, that the members of the diaspora, at least me, Roger, think you are the defenders of freedom in our country. Honorable Kayingu, how has been the leadership of the current speaker, Matibini? How would you characterize his leadership?
Well, we have seen some, you see, our house, the parliament, has got history.
Mm-hmm.
From the time we got independence, maybe even well before getting independence. And we have a documentary that houses the proceedings of Parliament, the Hazard. I would not want to really to try and discuss him as an individual,
mm-hmm.
but I would want to look at him. Some ruling which sometimes to me have looked draconian, and it's unbelievable that sometimes the proceedings are completely contrary to the Commonwealth proceedings in the House. The proceedings are completely contrary to the. To the proceedings which we have copied from the Westminster thing. So to me, I would rather really look at the proceedings from the time of the first speaker and to today. I will rise on the points of order to bring the speaker to the understanding that some of the procedures. This is now my seventh year in Parliament. Well, I think we had a good speaker in Speaker Manamwamba. And we have been trying to see if we could help the speaker understand that the House has got the only procedure. I think it qualified as he is. Now I'm convincing. Don't all reasonable doubt that for somebody to be a good speaker, you should have served as a member of parliament, so that you know you affiliate yourself to the proceedings and the procedure of the House.
All right, those of my friends who have called, especially Akashambatwa, told me he was going to call in. Please press 1 on your phone. I think the phone will come up, and I'll be able to spinhead your number. And those who have called in and want to ask a question or want to give a comment or a message of support to the members of Parliament who we are talking to, please press 1 on your phone, and the switchboard will tell me where we are going to go. We are speaking with two members of the opposition, United Independence Party, and MMD for that matter. This, Mwetwa, according to whatever Honorable Kayingu said here, was not planned. However, things are unfolding, like we saw happen in Ukraine from one day to another, things were changing. Are you now beginning to consult each other and to have a well-coordinated plan in how to go ahead in Parliament when you go on Tuesday, Bamweto?
Thank you very much. And just for putting the record, it's UPND, United Party for National Development.
Yeah.
Now, I totally agree with Honorable Kayingo in everything and everything that he has said. This was unplanned.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, when you are agreed on something, you do not have to plan for it. It has to be executed.
Yes.
Because you have a convergence of thought. The MMD, the UPND, have had a convergence of thought over this issue. And not out of our own intuition or end wish as political parties that this must be done, but the people of Zambia have demanded that we do have a new constitution. And this has been fueled by the fact that the Patriotic Front, by Mr. Michael Sata, promised the people of this country that within 90 days they will have a new constitution, that the current constitution is defective in that it does not represent what democracy should be in line with separation of powers. Separation of powers intrinsically and inextricably, informs us that the three arms of government, as in the case of Zambia, should be independent of each other with permissible interference. But what we have seen in this country is that the executive has overriding powers.
Mm-hmm.
Powers to run parliament, powers to run the judiciary, and thus it is just them and their will and wishes that carry the day. So the people of Zambia have been agreed that this should be, changed. We have to come in line with the modern tenets, of democracy. So it doesn't really require MMD and the UPND to sit around the table and to agree. For these are facts that have been well agreed by the people of this country, that we need, a constitution that will devolve powers to individuals and institutions away from the presidency, so that whether or not you have a good president, but you are sure that you have good institutions that are going to guide the leaders in their various portfolios of governmental function.
Thank you for that comment, Honorable Kayingo. Let me continue on that thought. What we have seen, or we are observing from afar here, is the weakening of a lot of institutions in Zambia. The judiciary is almost non-existent because of what is happening. From the reports we are seeing come from Parliament, the leadership there, it is all the institutions are being weakened by the PF government. From what we can see, my question is coming from what the Vice President said the other day. We are going to run Parliament without you. How possible is that, Honorable Kayingo, that Parliament can be run without the opposition?
I don't know what he really meant. I think he was cracking a joke. First of all, I want to say this.
Uh-huh.
There are some parameters that we should have a synergy on, as the UPND and the MMD. And I think this is one of them. As the two the big parties, if I'm not offending anybody to say that, we need to have synergies, and the synergies will come as we gravitate towards 2016. We'll have some synergies. We cannot just simply dismiss everything. It's important that we work that way to protect
as the Honorable Mwetu has already said, to protect good governance. The three links of governance, the executive, the judiciary, and ourselves, should be respected. As we are discussing right now, there are some proposals that there must be some judicial reforms. And we have said that the judicial reforms cannot come in piecemeals, because if we are going to do some reforms without really looking at the Constitution, the Constitution, actually, there are materials therein which refer to the judicial. They are in the Constitution, there are materials therein which refer to the Parliament. So there's no need for us really to discuss governance without addressing the main or the fundamental problem, which is the Constitution. You see what I saw on the internet,
uh-huh,
is it true? The reflection of what will be handed to the president. Then we don't have any problem. We have the Bill of Rights for the people. We have the way we are going to govern ourselves, the way the environment is going to be structured. Mind you, even ourselves as the members of Parliament, we are not simply rubber stamps. We are going to look and scrutinize the document. We are not just going to enact it in its form. We are going to look at it and what we feel is not compatible with good governance. We may not pass it. I think that's what the enactment means. So that document is a prime document that will help unify all, give the independence of the three limbs of government. So for me, I share in all the things that Honorable Mwepo has said, that we need to have, I must hasten to say here, that we need to have some areas of synergy. Because if we divorce ourselves from these synergies, then we are not serving the people of central performance.
All right. I have a question here, Honorable Mwitwa, coming from Boston. Can you please articulate what your strategy is going to be in getting the Constitution out of the president? Because I think the lady is hearing a lot of things, but what is going to be your strategy in getting this Constitution from Mr. Sata? This is a question from Boston.
Thank you very much. Well, as you would, and I know you know, but you can recall, issues of grave national importance are not driven by what an individual or a party thinks.
Uh-huh.
They are driven by what the majority think. So our strategy is what the people want. And for us to prescribe a strategy to say, this is how we're going to go about to get this constitutional making process away from Mr. Sata, could be an act in futility if it is not shared by the majority. The only thing I can tell you as our strategy is to ensure that everybody else gets on board and buy in into the idea that as a people, we are all agreed that we need a new constitution. And what happens, the strategies, the maneuvers, the logistics to ensure that this, you know, be manifest, you know, in a way that government begins to accept of our views, it's something that is a matter of practicality. But as things stand, we are relying on, you know, the people. For us as members of parliament, we have said we put ourselves on the line to be able to be on the vanguard of those people who should be able to demand a new and people-driven constitution. As a matter of fact, we are not just asking for a constitution. we are asking for a better constitution, because the constitution that is currently operational is defective. So we are geared to ensure that a new and better constitution is put in place. But for that to happen, it is not dependent on our, you know, lone actions as members of parliament, but it's dependent on the overall, you know, participation of the citizens, because we, you know, represent the citizens. Yes. And there is abundant evidence,
yes,
on record that when the people, in respect of constitution and constitutional provisions, they have triumphed. For instance, in 2001, when President Chiluba wanted to go for third term, the people of this country galvanized themselves around one theme: no third term. And despite the massive injection of funds into, you know, sponsorship of propaganda machinery to show and try to attempt to show that the people of this country wanted a third term, it flopped, because the majority of Zambians, as a matter of fact, were detestful of a third term.
Okay.
We are very, very hopeful that on this core, Zambians will join hands and ensure that we demand a people-driven constitution before 2016 and not an animal-driven constitution.
Yes.
And just for purpose of clarity, it is absurd to have a president who thinks that perhaps inadvertently there could be an animal-driven constitution. When we say we wanted a people-driven constitution, we are talking about wider consultation, wider participation of citizens. It has nothing comparison to animals. We just want that such a constitution should drive and command the legitimacy of the citizens.
Thank you, thank you. Let me go to Texas, and there is another number which has come here. I think two numbers from Texas. From Texas, Nathan, please come through.
Thank you, Roger. Distinguished gentlemen, thank you for joining us. Two questions either of you can respond. Number one, obviously we've all noticed how the PF government has wastefully focused their energy and the meager resources to buy elections. That matter needs to be addressed. I want both of you to comment on that. And then secondly, we don't seem to see any meaningful development, so to speak. And, I mean, Honorable Kayingu, your party just came out of government. You tried, you did your best to, I think, to minimize and to get rid of that foreign debt, but it's coming back again. What can we do about that?
Okay. So, Honorable Kayingu, why don't you begin?
I think the solution lies in the constitution. That's what can cure all the mischiefs that we are looking at. Should it be by-elections? Should it be poverty levels? Should it be good governance? It's all enshrined in the constitution. And that's why we need borrowing from what the others have been saying, people-driven constitution. And it was leaked on the internet. Is what will be handed over to the president. I think it gives hope to all of us, because I went through that document, and for me, it's a very good document. It really cures almost all the problems or the wounds that that we are going through, the by-elections limit. So for me, I think we need to focus our attention on the constitution. And I agree with my colleague that I don't think there is anybody who has difficulty, even the PF members of parliament, or even PF leadership, or PF general membership, even they were to be asked individually. I'm sure they would agree that we need a good constitution. I think that's what is important. And it's not for President Sata to say there's a constitution. Yes, you can have a car on the phone. It's your car, but it's not running. So, but you cannot say, no, I have a car. What we are saying, we want you to have a good car. So, similarly, we have a constitution, but this constitution is not answering to all our problems. So I think as much as we can digress into high elections, poverty, lack of development, I think we need to have one fundamental document, that is the constitution, that will answer to all these problems. I want to say thank you very much for making that comment about MMD. Yes, we made an effort. We didn't answer to all the problems of Zambians, but I think we saw meaningful development. Even the question of universal primary education, I think we are attending to it through the basic schools. But what we are saying is that even that is being destroyed. So we are worried. But for us to really cure all these problems, I think we really have to focus our attention, all of us, to a good constitution.
Okay. I think you have well covered the answer. Let me go to... I think this should be my brother Stephen Banda. Stephen, good morning. Okay. Area code 913, last four numbers, 2282. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Abram Urenda from Kansas City.
Thank you, Abram.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I just want to commend the two members of parliament. They're very smart. I've learned a lot from them. As a Zambian in the diaspora, we're behind. Just let them know that we're behind them. The current constitution, as the MP said, the president has so much powers. He can dissolve the parliament. He can pick who the chief justice is. He has so many powers. And then the members of parliament should have more powers, in my opinion, than the president, because those are representatives of the people, and they get more votes, and the president may get less than 50% of the votes, but he still has more power to dissolve a parliament that's more representative and more people from all over the country than him. So to me, it doesn't really make sense. So I just want to commend them. I just want to tell them that, you're on the right track. We are all behind you. I've learned so much. You're very, very smart people. And, as a Zambian, I'm just so proud that I have very smart people like you guys representing me in the parliament. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, thank you. Let me go to, we are running out of time here, about 5 minutes. Let me go to 513 area code 0090. Good morning. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Probably the listener is just listening. We have about 5 minutes to go. I'm getting feedback here. I don't know what is happening. Finally, I think you've heard of some of the few people who have called in here in the diaspora. I think I totally agree with you. And what we do as a people, what we are going to say, what we are going to say to you, will determine the course. And from the members of the diaspora, at least a few of us, we are supporting the course of action you are taking. No business in the house until the constitution framework is passed. Now, let me go to you, Vamwetua. Give us just your few last remarks, and then I'll go to Honorable Kayungu as we conclude our discussion this morning.
Well, thank you very much. What I would like to say is this. Internally here, mm-hmm. there are a lot of internal politics and media sponsorship of views trying to divide the UPND and the MMD, knowing exactly well that these are the two forces that are driving the agenda of the opposition and, by and large, the agenda of the nation. I'd like to categorically state that we, UPND and the NMD, are unanimous and resolved on one course of action. We want a new people-driven constitution. before 2016.
Yes.
And we are going to act together, you know, on the basis of the fact that the majority of Zambians want a people-driven constitution. The current government, the government in power, promised the people of this country that we're going to have a new constitution within, remember, not in 90 days, but within 90 days, meaning even within 60 days, such a constitution was going to be made available. The people of this country have just realized that they were deceived. And you see this being represented in the by-elections. Like we had a by-election last week on a Wednesday. It's this week Wednesday, where the ruling party was miserably battered. And remember that by-election was in Lusaka and on the fringes of Lusaka, just to show what the people want. So we, as the opposition, UPND and MMD, we are resolved on one thing. This is not about partisan politics. This is not about what we as political parties want to achieve. This is about what the people of Zambia want to achieve. Together, we want to ensure that once and for all, we promulgate a people-driven constitution. And this was, further exemplified on Wednesday by the Speaker of the National Assembly, Dr. Matibini, when he said the issue of a people-driven constitution has eluded the people of Zambia for a long time, since 1964, since 1971. And I, meaning him as Speaker of the National Assembly, I would like this matter to, reach finality, to reach its conclusive end. So you can see that the head of the legislature,
yes,
the people who make laws, want this new constitution,
okay,
to be debated and finalized.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
Only the head of the executive who is dragging his feet. So we really think that this should
Honorable, let me cut you short. We are running out of time. Probably the speaker is also depending on you. Honorable Kayingu, 1 minute, please.
Thank you.
Give us your last word.
Yeah, thank you very much. Really, I don't have much to add to what your Honorable Mato has said. Mm-hmm. I think I said it all. I want to say this is one document and one piece of material that all of us as Zambians, and I'm so grateful that you people in the diaspora, you are following what is happening here. I think all of us as Zambians must come together and see that what has been rooting the people for a long time, now it's time for it to be enacted, a good constitution. So I'm grateful that you have called us here, and I've listened to what my colleague really, I'm sure as he speaks for his party, that we have a common ground, and the common ground is about this constitution, and I'm sure we have several meetings. As to how we are going to move, I still want to repeat that this is a unique situation, and for me, a unique situation you always be looking for, not strategies, but tactics. We have to employ some tactics, unique tactics, which at the end will make sure that the president is convinced. One thing that I've seen, and I remain baffled, is why people really believe that once they are given political power, then they want to start running the country like it's their own home. That nobody else has got wisdom, nobody else has got it. Sense that other than themselves, and they can do whatever they do, they should do with the people. And that really has baffled me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much,
Honorable,
yeah,
members of Parliament. When you go in the House, please add on my one statement on your submission. You are the defenders of freedom in Zambia. You are the defenders of peace. My name is Roger Charlie here in Overtox. We'll be getting in touch with you and we'll be hearing from you as we go on. Have a good weekend and God bless.
Thank you very much.